talked about the next 5 years, a time of a lot of volatility. That's not necessarily bad news, you said.
No, I'm pretty optimistic, actually, about the next 5 years. If you get beyond the next 5 years, I start to get a little bit scared. But I think the next 5 years, especially for U.S. agricultural producers, you're going to have a lot of opportunity in the world, and I think it's going to be a real chance to set up for that more volatile, multipolar, geopolitical world past it.
Where is that opportunity?
I think it's not in China, is my key message to the audience. I think if you look at much of the emerging markets, if you look at sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, where population is increasing, even Latin America, where drought and the sort of double dip, maybe into triple dip La Nina is causing problems, those are all areas that I would look to diversify from. So it's not, for me, it's not like there's, it's not going to be like the last 30 years where the answer to that question would have been China, whether it was manufacturing supply chains or ag exports. It's really about, look at all of these different countries that need to import food, that are struggling, that are growing and have populations that are still growing. Those are the countries you want to be in. You don't want to be so dependent on just one or two export markets.
So these next 5 years, it's really a preparation for what's next. Why are you concerned about what comes after these next 5 years?
Because we're heading into a period where it looks like the U.S. and China are on a collision course. And when you look at previous eras where you have rising and falling powers like we have right now, it usually events in some kind of cataclysmic conflict. So the last true multipolar era was the 1890s. And, of course, that ended in World War I and World War II. I think, unfortunately, that is the trajectory we're on. I wouldn't tell you that that's what's going to happen, but that's the trajectory. So if you're preparing, trying to be ready for risks in the future, that's what I would prepare for, worst-case scenario, and work backwards from that. So we're heading towards the most powerful countries in the world having divergent interests and competing with each other politically, economically, security. That keeps me up at night for my kids and whether we're going to be fighting wars, 20 years down the road. But no power is strong enough to defeat the other right now. And that's that sweet spot where everybody wants to trade and everybody wants to make themselves stronger without actually firing shots.
Energy is obviously a huge issue, important to us in agriculture as well. How do you see that landscape as we move forward?
Yeah, I would make two key points about energy. The first is that the next couple of years, buckle your seatbelt. It's probably going to be higher prices just because there's been malinvestment in things like coal and natural gas and oil, and renewables just haven't scaled yet. I do, however, think if you can get past the next 5 years, once you get past that, I do think energy will be deflationary because all of this solar, all of this wind, hydrogen, nuclear, whatever else is going to come online, we're finally going to drive down the price of energy. And the countries that are able to drive down the price of energy most, those are the ones that are going to have the most disposable income to buy products. So that's the first thing that I would say. The second is that don't think in terms of one global energy system. So right now, we all know what a barrel of oil is. Like, it all means basically the same thing for all those different economies. China's focusing on nuclear. The European Union's focusing on hydrogen. In the United States, we have natural gas coming out of our ears. We're not going to be in a globalized energy market probably as we're in these in-between stages of the energy transition paradigm. So, I would just say you're going to have different energy systems in different parts of the world, and if you can make it through the high prices of the next couple of years, lower energy prices are coming at the end of the decade.
Something that's happening now, obviously we've had like one black swan event after another, but the supply chain situation, the logistics, a lot of headaches in agriculture and beyond. Do you see that changing anytime soon?
Well, I take issue with the black swan issue because nothing has happened. A true black swan is something that nobody thought of. And I don't think that anything that's happened right now is something that nobody thought of. I've been writing about higher food prices and the potential for a potential war in the world literally since March 2020. So I don't see any black swan events. But I do think the sort of smaller conflicts that we've seen throughout the world, the trade issues and the rise of protectionism, you're going to see more of that in general. And if there are any black swan events, they're the types of storms or weather patterns that we really can't predict. So this gets personal for me. I'm in New Orleans right now. Another Katrina, and that doesn't just mean my house gets shoved down the Mississippi River. It means that a lot of the U.S. energy complex goes offline. It means U.S. food exports are not going to hit to market, things like that. So it's those types of acts of God keep me up. But I don't think we're in a world that is that unknown or where things are happening that you can't predict. They're scary, they're volatile, you have to be ready for them. But nothing that has happened in the last 2 years has necessarily surprised me.
Can this current supply chain logistic issue, do you see that, we're able to overcome that anytime soon?
we will overcome it, but it's going to take a little while. So we're going from an era of globalization to an era of geopolitical competition. And that means that a lot of countries and companies are having to rebuild supply chains from scratch. So it's no longer you just export your product out into the full world. You have to figure out, okay, well, I'm actually exporting to South America and Sub-Saharan Africa, and I can't depend on certain transportation routes that I used to before, so I'm going to build all that from scratch. That's one of the reasons I think inflation has not been transitory. I think the Fed sort of missed that one of the things that was happening underneath the system is that a lot of companies in the world right now, there's a lot of capex into rebuilding transportation and finding and opening up those kinds of new markets. So I think it will, like the situation will stabilize, but it's not going to go back to the way it was before. It's not going to be that globalized system of trade where the wheels are greased and everything is going. It's where you're going to make those strategic decisions to be in these three markets and you optimize your supply chains to be in those three markets. We're not going back to sort of, you know, the heyday of globalization. That period, I think, is over.